We're going to continue to live in the world of this story today, imagining being in a crowd of 10,000 people. That's probably, if you've been to a full hockey game or concert at Rogers, that's about half of the arena. And it's a naturally forming amphitheater of rolling hills along the Lake of Gennesaret. Thousands, all these different peoples and personalities sitting in the long green grass. Maybe if you want to close your eyes, that'll help you imagine this. They're hanging on to every word that Jesus says. But it's getting dark. You know how it gets dark in those long days of summer, and then you say, "Oh, it's getting dark." But this "oh" turns into "oh no." The numbers guy in Jesus' inner circle, let's call him Philip, says, "We've got to get these people out of here. They won't be able to buy food to eat. Send them away, Jesus, so that they can take care of themselves." But Jesus answers, "You give them something to eat." Gulp. Judas from accounts pipes up. "You're expecting us to come up with $30,000, run to all the stores and the food carts, and then give it to these people?" And Jesus loves to answer questions with questions. "How many loaves do you have?" Silence, awkward glances. Jesus says, "Go and see." And they do one of those searches that my wife sometimes accuses me of. Half-hearted. Like, did you actually go into the pantry and open your eyes when I asked you to look for the chocolate chips? So it's almost as if they're taunting Jesus. "Here's all we found. 2 fish, 5 barley loaves, and I think we're about $29,942 short, Jesus. Now can you send them away?" And I don't know if Jesus ever did an eye roll, but it's part of our DNA, isn't it? It's just like, don't we all know how to eye roll? Try it. Eye roll. I mean, if we can do it, certainly Jesus could. And so he puts his disciples to work after the eye roll, but not in purchasing, but in preparing the crowd for a picnic. Jesus takes what seems to be this meager offering. He blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives piece after piece after piece. It's filling the baskets. As the disciples run to and fro across this green grassy field, the people are filled with gladness. Everyone is so happy. Again, imagine the joy and the wonder of these people. They found a place of welcome. They found a place of generosity. They found a place of hospitality, no matter who they were. Hopefulness and joy spreads among this crowd of 10,000. If you have the picture, which I think you all have, is anyone missing this? If so, Gwen has extra pictures for you. Everyone doing okay? I know that's a small version of it, but if you want the big version, email me and I'll send it to you this week, because it's such a glorious, lovely, energy-filled time. Jesus with the disciples and this crowd of 10,000. Everyone eating their fill, and there's even leftovers. And as the darkness falls and the crowds drift away in their boats or by foot, they're banter and perhaps even their laughter fades into that cool calm night. And then the 12 disciples sit in a circle around Jesus, and they're marveling at the 12 wicker baskets that are overflowing with pieces of bread and pieces of fish. It's a real wow moment. Could this be what life with Jesus is really like? I'd like to say yes, and I hope this story warms our hearts and gives us hope on this first day of September. We're back in the Gospel of Mark, where we will be for the next several weeks. And if you remember, way back in June, we talked about the Gospel of Mark. And if you're reading through Mark, read it under that banner of God at work, even when the circumstances that surround us don't appear to tell us that. God at work in the midst of God feeling like God is not there. So today's story reminds us and these disciples yet again that they can never be outside the limits of God's care and compassion. God always for us, always with us, always providing for us, even when we can't feel it or sense it. And then another layer of good news is that God loves and companions and provides for us even when we are half-hearted or don't even believe that God could pull it off. That's extra good news. Here we are on the first day of September. It's that time of the year that feels like turning points. And so what faces us in these days? We think about all the students flooding back to school, starting school or returning or finding their place and their way, and maybe it feels daunting. We look around this congregation and we know there's educators and leaders and government officials, there's CEOs and CFOs, there's caregivers, there's first responders, there's those who serve in coffee shops and restaurants and institutions all over the city. We know that some of us are not well, or maybe we're lonely or isolated. Maybe we're unemployed or underemployed. Maybe we're in that season of retirement where we're trying to reorient ourselves and find new pathways, new patterns. We are all faced with life circumstances that can make us feel fearful or feel like there's scarcity, that there's not going to be enough. And so the reflection question of the day is, what's that scarcity place in your life? Or maybe in the life of the church, our church, or you hear about other church that are struggling or trying to find their way. What is the scarcity place? The temptation with that scarcity is just to send it away and pretend it doesn't exist. But I would imagine that our scarcity place is a real place, a place of fear, a place where we don't feel like we're going to have enough. And that feeling doesn't magically go away. So the words of Jesus are good for us today. Jesus says, go and see. Go and see. And that command might play out differently in our lives in these days and this week. But go and see is Jesus telling us that we will be surprised and maybe even stunned by God's providence and generosity. Somehow in the midst of our fears and the clenching of our fists or our resources, Jesus will take the ordinary circumstances, the ordinary ingredients of our lives, and do a work of providence and even abundance. There will be enough. So again, I invite you to, if you feel comfortable, close your eyes and hold that scarcity thought before you and before God. Or maybe you're in a good place and instead you want to hold that scarcity place of your friend or family member, or maybe even a stranger you saw this week and their story broke your heart. Hold your or their scarcity scenario before the Lord. And pray for wisdom and insight into how and who, how they'll find a way, a pathway. And maybe as you're praying today, let's ready our hearts to pay attention for how God will show up and be open to how you might be the answer to someone's prayer this week, in journeying alongside someone, in assuring them that there will be enough. Maybe that happens in conversations in our church. Maybe that will happen in conversations outside of these church walls this week. I want us to take a look at the picture again. Jesus at the center, this extraordinary presence, moving with gladness, generosity in our midst. And since God is here, since Jesus is here, we see that people are fed, people are taken care of, compassion is lavished upon the sheep. These sheep that early in the story, Jesus has compassion on them because they looked like they were sheep without a shepherd. And notice that we're there too. We're alongside Jesus and the disciples. Jesus invites us to go and see. We are, and maybe you imagine yourself, either receiving from the basket or passing out the basket, eating and receiving or feeding and giving. It's a good place to be, around the heart and the abundance and the providence of Jesus. The psalmist says, and we've heard echoes of Psalm 23 this morning, the shepherd's psalm, surely goodness and mercy will follow us. Other translations say, surely goodness and mercy will pursue us all the days of our lives.